Well, one of the things that happened, I mean, the Able Foundation funds an initiative, a pilot that we did focused on sex trafficking victims. So this is sort of taking it to the next stage as far as awareness and all of those kinds of things are concerned. I mean, we started out not really knowing anything about the numbers or what was going to happen, and yet a year and a half later, we have served 125 victims. So that there's a great need.
How would you characterize the problem with human sex trafficking in Baltimore and then I guess in the whole state?
Well, it's very difficult to sort of do concrete numbers because it's a crime, and so people hide it and it's undercover. But every time we do a speaking engagement, every time we do sort of some community outreach, girls come to the fore. So that is making us believe that there are great numbers. And also, as law enforcement has become more and more involved in Baltimore City, in Anne Arundel County, Montgomery County, they are doing raids on a regular basis, and they're identifying women and girls who are being trafficked.
Why is this so popular for the bad seeds, the bad people in the community? What about this has made it come up so high and that it is now on everybody's radar screen?
It's money. That they make enormous amount of money doing what they do. And it's undercover, and so they're unlikely to be caught or punished, and so they continue to do it. And that's really what it comes down to, a willingness to sell other human beings for money.
Tell us about some of the stories that you've heard from women, if you can. Share some of their stories.
Well, there's a fairly wide range. We have served girls as young as 12, 13, and women into their early 20s, some who'd been involved for several years and some who for a few weeks or a few months. About 60% of them have been local girls coming out of the greater Baltimore area, but we've also seen girls come from as far away as California who traffickers brought them here to sell them in Baltimore City or Baltimore County. Several are runaways who, had a difficult home situation or just a bad relationship with their parents and ran away, and that these people are predators and they're out there waiting on needy girls. And so at bus stations, at the malls, they prey on them and they say, I'm going to be your new best friend, your new boyfriend, your new support. And then before the girls know it, they're being sold, and they're being held against their will, and they're being punished and beaten and hurt. And it's a very difficult thing to get away from, because that's the other piece of this, is because it's underground, because there's so much shame involved, you have to tell someone something so awful, it keeps them in. Then how do you call your mother and tell her what's been happening to you? So it's a very, very, very nasty business.
Does it run much like prostitution does, where there's a pimp that's the money man and organizes this way? How is
very
it organized?
Much so. Okay. When I'm saying trafficker, that's interchangeable with what you're thinking of as a pimp. That they are in control. Sometimes, most of the time, it's been male, but sometimes it's female. That they have people who work with them that control the girls and take them out to be sold, put them up on the internet to be sold, do all of those kind of things, and certainly manage all the money, control phones. One of the things that happens when girls are rescued is that we have to start at the beginning, because he's taking all of her ID. She has no driver's license, birth certificate, all of those things are gone. She's just all completely on her own, and that's part of how he controls her.
What can be done? What needs to be done, I guess, immediately and then long term?
I think immediately that just this, it coming on all of our radar is the biggest first step, that paying attention when we're in hotels, paying attention when we're driving up and down streets, that if you look out and you see a child in a place they should not be, that we should be paying attention to that, because it's happening in our neighborhoods, that the level of traffic in and out of houses where these girls are being sold, we all have to pay attention to that. We have to ask the right questions. So I think that's the first thing. that there are places children don't belong. We should pay attention to that.
Are the laws strong enough? Do they have enough teeth, or would you like to see those changed?
There are some that need some attention, but I think even more than that, it is an awareness and support for law enforcement to enforce the laws that are there, to do the kind of investigating that's there. Because one of the things is that these girls are not going to walk up to a stranger on the street and say, I'm being trafficked. So it requires work and undercover work and paying attention, and that putting the resources to identifying these kids, that some of the numbers say there are between 200,000 and 300,000 children that this is happening to in the United States. We have to find them, we have to rescue them, and then we have to work to restore them to their lives. I mean, and that's the other side of this, the amazing thing, the awful things that these children have been through. I see them back in high school. I see them back working. I see them playing like children should play. So I know that that can happen as well, but it requires a lot of time and a lot of attention.